Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Well, here was our wonderful list of exercises. On Friday, to the person who's afraid, everything rustles. We're conditioned to believe we're afraid because we should be, that there are real things to fear, and that being afraid is just intelligent, sensible. But if we weren't afraid, would there be all those scary things to fear? Not everybody is afraid of the same things. Not everybody worries about or is anxious about the same circumstances or situations. Nor are people concerned in the same way. One person afraid of dying goes to the doctor at every opportunity, while another avoids doctors altogether. We're afraid of what we're afraid of because we've been taught to be afraid of those things in that way. There's nothing intelligent or sensible about being afraid. Fear just robs us of our lives. Today, when you're aware of voices of worry, anxiety, or fear, remind yourself that being afraid doesn't make you safe. It just makes you afraid. On Saturday, we fear something before we hate it. A child who fears noise becomes an adult who hates noise. When we distill practice to its essence, we realize that in every moment we have a choice. We're either choosing to be here or lost in a conversation and conditioned mind. Presence, we could say, is a synonym for unconditional love. When we're here, we are what is. We experience union, connection, belonging, gratitude, and contentment because there is no separation, no sense of other, no identification with the illusion of being someone apart from life unfolding. Fear, on the other hand, is the experience of ego. It's the sense of being apart from, resisting what is, being averse to how things are. And sadly, aversion in its strongest form is expressed as revulsion, contempt, and hatred. Identified with fear, humans commit unspeakable acts of cruelty. Today, as you notice any form of aversion, recognize the movement to separation and redirect attention to unconditional love. Record and listen. And on Sunday, I tell you, one must still have chaos in one to give birth to a dancing star. Egos claim they want to be special, but have you noticed the boring sameness of egocentricity and self-hatred? In an attempt to control the life force for its uses, conditioning imposes limits on who we are and how we should be. We're tricked into believing that we crave control, resolution, order, meaning, explanations, and predictability, but that's ego eyes desire, not ours. Life is gloriously unpredictable and seems to revel in the dance between form and emptiness and everything in between. Today, see if you can see the chaos and disorder in your steps, in you as steps in your dance with life. Record and listen.
Ooh, just that last one. Seeing the chaos in ourselves as steps in our dance with life.
Oh. All right, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Brad in Maryland.
Hello, hey, Brad.
The second one you mentioned there that I practiced back in this past weekend was really resonating with me because I found you really, if someone were to explain some of this to you, they wouldn't know it unless they experienced it. Obviously, our practice is experiential. But for someone to try to say to you that when you're in the present moment, that's where you need to be. It's not a matter of circumstances. It's a matter of how you're seeing things. It's not the what, it's the how. And to have that experience again and again, keep coming back to that and realize the only thing that's causing such an issue is this sense of ego, of things needing to be a particular way, that circumstances need to be a particular, and it's that conversation. But again, just to come back to the present moment and realizing you're one with it. Again, this is language that we know what we're talking about, but other people, I guess it just wouldn't make sense. But
that's right. And it didn't make sense. It didn't make sense to us at one time.
Right.
Right. And so that's it. So we, you know, something catches our attention. We read something, we hear something, we, whatever it is, and there's a little opening, and we start going in that direction. And people who have been around practice for, you know, as long as I have, will say, readily say, oh yeah, you know, the first 10,000 times I heard that, it didn't make any sense to me. But we keep having that, we're in a particular place or having an experience and somebody says that to us or it drops in for us. It's not what, it's how, or it's not the content, it's the process, or it's how you're seeing it, or whatever it is. And pretty soon, we start looking for that, and pretty soon, it is our experience that that is true. Which is why, which is why we don't proselytize.
Yes.
We got nothing to offer.
That's one of the best things I love about Zen too, you know?
Yeah.
It's here.
Yeah.
It's here if you'd like to learn about it. If not, that's fine too. Yeah.
That's fine too. No, yeah, no pressure, no hard feelings. Because if you don't want this, there is nothing that is, there's nothing about it that's going to be anything other than opening for more self-hatred than you had before you ran across this. So, you know, we don't offer enlightenment. We don't offer salvation. We don't offer riches, fame, nothing. There's nothing in this for the ego. Yeah? So it's only the person who, on whatever level, whether they're conscious of it or not, they're on a path to let go of the ego. Those people are going to be drawn to this. And then it's still going to be an uphill slog for a long time. And so what we kind of cling to in the process is those first awarenesses that, I can sort of see that. Yeah. Yeah, I think there is another possibility.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's profound. And I thought about what you just said earlier about it, when you were mentioning the day about fear, of how people think that fear makes us safe, fear makes us afraid. Again, one process does not lead to another. I probably read that 1,000 times, and I'm like, what is that referring to?
What does that mean?
Now it makes sense, you know? It's like each thing of its own.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. Going left to get right is to get to the right is, I think that's funny the other way, but going to the left in order to get to the right is going to be a long journey.
Yeah.
Right? If you want to go to the right, go to the right. If you want to go to the left, go to the left. Don't do one thing and hope to get another result, because the only result you're going to get is the one thing you're doing, which is what we keep harping on about suffering. You can't have all of your attention on suffering and hope not to suffer. It's just not possible.
And that is my experience. That is, again, goes back to the practice. It's so simple. It's right under our noses. But unless we practice, we lose sight of that moment by moment. So we have to practice.
That's exactly right.
So,
yeah.
Anyway.
It's fun, isn't it?
All right.
It's really fun when you see it as a game. Right, which is the argument for going beyond the beatings, going beyond self-hate. Then we see it as a game. It's hidden in, I mean, as little kids, we love that. Hide and seek, right? Or hiding something and then I spy, right? We love that kind of thing. Can you see it? Can you see it? Can you see it? Oh, I see it. As adults, because we're being pounded by self-hate, it's not nearly as much fun. But it gets to the point where it's that much fun if we just stick with practice.
Yes. I just had a really big move, and my practice has been thrown a little out of whack, but I'm almost back up to full speed, and it's a good thing. So.
Yeah, good, good. I'm so glad. Thank you, Brad.
Right. Thank you so much, you two. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Brad. Oh, that conversation so resonated for me, Sherry, that it's that initial sense of the joy of discovery that sets us on the path. And that's what we cling to, because the going is rough. And there are moments of exquisite joy, and there are moments of transformation. And the way of transformation is often painful. And yet there's no thing that is worth it.
Right. It's painful, not because practice is painful, not because enlightenment or letting go or being present or living in awareness is painful. None of that is painful. It's getting past ego. It's the pain of ego, which can be inspiring, right? Because I can either live the rest of my life in the pain of ego, or I can go through, you know, that's why we compare it to pulling out splinters, right? You can either leave that splinter in and hope your arm doesn't rot off, or you can bite the bullet and have the splinter pulled out and let it heal. And that's an exact description of practice.
Oh, absolutely. And that place of what you were talking to Brad about in terms of, if I am a spiritual practitioner, that is the path. You know, that if we want to transcend ego, we have to give our attention to something other than suffering. And that which keeps us in suffering has to be eroded. It's a single-pointed journey.
Yes, yes, exactly, exactly. Yeah, and we only do it because we want to.
Right.
There's there's no promise of everlasting heaven at the end of this. Well, you can have it now, but
yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's the elusive mystery and secret, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini.
Hello.
Hello, Karen.
Who's this?
Hello. Can you hear me? It's Karen.
Yeah, Karen. I just didn't recognize your voice.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'd just taken a sip of tea, and it might have been a little funny there for a second. But anyway, hi.
Hi. Here you are.
Yeah, here I am. And I think the one I loved was yesterday's about one must still have chaos in one to give birth to a dancing star. And I think the resonation was because I have a lot of chaos externally and internally right now. And and there is that, to me, it kind of speaks to faith, that it's all there, you know, to end up or to take me wherever it takes me, or I don't really know how to say it, but it's just, and it's not so much that it's there for a reason, you know, it's not so much like, why is this happening? It's more, this is happening, and I just kind of have faith that it's all, I don't know,
your
all
best opportunity, as we say.
Yeah, my best opportunity. That would be a good way. Yeah, it's my best opportunity.
Yeah.
This is what life is bringing right now. This is where my practice is. This is, there's nothing wrong with it. You know, all of that kind of thing.
So, Karen, if, you know, you always wanted to, I can't even remember what the name of it is, but that walk, that religious walk in Spain, and I can't.
Oh, yeah. The Camino.
You know the one Camino de somebody. And you wanted to do that, but you know you're not physically fit for it. You're just not. And yet you really, 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 really want to do that. And so you're going to get on a program that's going to enable you to do that thing that you really, really, really want to do. And that's exactly what's happening with each one of us who brings conscious awareness to the choice to end suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because ego would say, well, I just want everything, and we're identified with ego, of course, so we believe these things. You know, I just want things to stay the same. Why does all this hard stuff have to happen? Why can't life just go along? Why can't it just? And of course, what we know about that is what that translates into is so ego can be in a constant conversation about what's wrong when there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Just complaining its way through a perfectly glorious life. And then there are those of us who say, no, I really want to end that. And so we start looking at life events as those opportunities. So I got to find more compassion. I got to have more unconditional love here. I got to let go of the grousing and complaining and feeling sorry for myself. And, oh, I need to let go of ego in order to be present for these life circumstances.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, it always comes down to a conversation. Even, lately, conditioning is saying things like, did I really need to learn these lessons this way? You know, like, is this what it takes? You know, and if, yes, it takes what it takes. But
yes, apparently is the answer to that.
Yeah.
Right?
Or not. You know, like where I went with it is that because there can be some self-hate in that. Apparently this is what it took for me, takes me to a place of like, oh my gosh, was I really like this, you know, did I really need to learn it this way or whatever?
Because Karen, we do, because when life is just going along as it's going along, we are not required to choose the level of unconditional that you're being required to choose now. We're just not. And it's not going to occur to us. It just isn't.
No. Yeah, I'm
And
just,
so it's not, so there's no punishment about it. It's just, you know, on the other side of it, so I happen to know what's going on with you. So somebody you love very much is in the process of dying slowly and in a rather horrific way, right?
Yeah.
And so when you stop and look at it, the other choice is would you want to be in that position and have him be going through that and have your children be going through that? Would you rather be in that position? And most of us would say yes. A lot of us, though, would say yes, because it's actually easier to be the person having the experience than to be the person watching the person having the experience.
When we're in the car or something, I jump out of the car to go get us a Starbucks or something. That's like a treat these days. And just the fact that I can jump out of the car.
Yes.
You know, no, I'm so grateful that I can do this work that I'm doing, but I don't want to be that other person. I feel like I have it so much easier, you know, being the caretaker role. It's hard, it's painful, but oh my gosh, just to be able to move my body and, and the other part of all of that, you know, that conversation that I can get into that will hook me sometimes about did I really need to learn these lessons this way? And what happens is that life will flip it and make this like a huge gift.
Yes.
Which I think it is.
It absolutely is.
But I think that's the chaos, you know, like the chaos is reaching for the gift of it.
Well, or how about this? The chaos is what we experience when egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate tries to figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. That is, and there's a lot of moving in and out of that on a daily basis, or probably hourly basis, you know. But anyway, just Anyway, just yes to all of that, and and I just really enjoyed that quote because it took me to a place of faith and sort of a place of, you know, I don't know where this is all leading, but this is just how it is, and somehow life will spit me out somewhere in a whole new place, and I don't know what that'll be, but it's okay.
And Karen, if I may. Life is not just spitting you out in a whole new place. It's spitting all of you out in a whole new place.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's so easy for us to see ourselves kind of as the central player, always, because it is our life.
Yeah.
But to realize that all of this actually, that you could be a bit player learning these lessons. You really could be just a supporting role in this educational process.
Well, you know, I think about that too. I think, am I here, you know, like, am I here, not that term, but as a bit player for my daughter or a bit, you know, like, where is this going to lead for someone else? And that has entered my mind a lot, which is also a wonderful, but all of that to me is a relief.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, you know,
yes, absolutely.
It just takes it out of any sort of drama and helps me just be here with what is. And, you know, what's here today is a gorgeous day and hummingbirds and flowers
everybody's
and I'm
going to
be out in life, and there's a lot of love here. And, you know, as long as I don't fall into things like comparison or, you know, into all those bamboozles, I'm fine, and we're really fine, and we're just living
our
lives.
Stay with the strawberries, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Stay with the strawberries.
So anyway, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Thank you, Sherry.
Not your
Thank
Starbucks.
You,
not your Starbucks, though. That sounds disgusting. But even the Starbucks is a strawberry, right?
All right.
Thank you,
okay.
Karen.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Karen. Trey, I'm going to bring us another caller. I'll bring another caller live since we're close to that time. So here we go. There's our next caller.
Thank
You're
you.
Now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, it's Jodine.
Hey, Jodine.
Hey, Jodine.
Hi. I'm calling in today because I realized that although I listen a lot to Project Joy, I've been hiding out a bit and not in the queue, and so I just gathered my courage today. And when I was looking at the Dancing Star assignment, and the first thing that came up was, I don't get it. and I just decided, well, I guess it's okay to call and say you don't get it. So I put myself in the queue.
Well, can I ask you this? I happen to know you're a scientist. Would a dancing star be born out of sameness?
Well, I'm not an astronomer,
if you apply the principle to all of the things that you do look at with your background, there is something that initiates something. We could go back to Isaac Newton for this, right? The ball doesn't just go through the air, the ball's thrown. So there's something that sets something
perturbs
in motion.
It.
Perturbs
right.
it, yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And
right.
sets it in motion. And so for a dancing star, we can guess that what would set that in motion would be some sort of perturbance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the star is like, oh, so go ahead.
Well, and so if ego were looking at that perturbance, it might see it as chaotic. Why do
yeah.
things have to change? Why does this have to, it's what we were just talking about with Karen, why does this have to happen? Why is this way? Why couldn't it have been, why couldn't it have just stayed the way it was? Why this? So ego constantly looking at life circumstances as out of control, chaotic, unwanted, to be resisted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what comes to mind is Eckhart Tolle, consciousness loves to play with form.
Yes. That's one of those statements that for me is always a case of, the loves to. I don't... loves to, does. And the, for me, again, the illusion of separation between those two, as if form is different from consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me?
Yes, like I guess what I was getting from what you were saying was the kind of seriousness of ego.
Yes,
you know, wanting things to be a certain way, and life is really playing a game. You know.
Yes.
That's
ego being part
really
of that
going
game.
On.
Ego being
yeah.
part of that game, right? Because you can't have a good comic without the term is straight man, a straight person, right? You have to have a foil, right? There has to be something against which.
Oh, that's a great image.
And, yeah, and the ego is the perfect... yeah.
Foil.
Way in which we can see something that would be very difficult for us to experience otherwise. I was just looking at it this morning, as a matter of fact, after meditation, and the quote that always comes to me in these circumstances, the same eyes with which I see God, God sees me.
The same eyes with which I see God, God sees me. What, can you say more about what that means to you? Because
yes.
I've always been a little bit about that one.
Okay. It points back to that we are so trained to see subject and object. We are so trained to the I-thou orientation. That there is a God that is separate, that God the creator of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So consciousness loves to play with form. Is that same orientation? If consciousness loves to play as form, that's different.
Mm. Okay, yeah.
You have your koan, don't you?
Yeah, that's a great koan. I just got it and then lost it again.
The perfect
no, it's
koan.
It's that shift.
I see it, I can't hang on to it.
Right. No, you're saying you can look at it as, one might say consciousness loves to play with form, and another might say consciousness consciousness loves to play as form.
Yes. Very different. That one little word makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Which resonates. Which resonates with me.
Good. Good. All right. Well, keep having fun, huh?
Okay.
Again, one of my other favorite quotes, it's probably going to come up in Project Joy somewhere if it hasn't already, God is a comedian playing to an audience afraid to laugh.
Yes, that also came up for me when you were talking earlier. And actually, if I could just share this one thing then, I was talking with the mentor this morning, and I'm working with a difficulty, a long-time difficulty for me, which is feeling horrible when I wake up in the morning. And the mentor said, maybe we should have a name for it. Like, what is it in a word? You know, what is it? How do you feel? And I said, in a word, I feel like death. And mentor said, great, how about the waking death? Like,
and you were
know,
able
like
to see
the
humor in that.
Yeah, like The Walking Dead. There's all these like horror movies about The Walking Dead or something. And yeah. I did. I just laughed. I mean, I just laughed. Oh, my God, that's perfect. The waking death, you know, here it comes.
Yes, and you can picture it as a zombie and know it has nothing to do with you.
And I could just see, like, approaching it so much lighter.
Yes.
That way.
Yes. Now, I know we have to dash. Because we are having way too much fun here. So.
Okay, thank you.
Stay with
thank
that.
You,
huh?
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Jody.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jody. And that brings us to the end of another wonderful show, Sherry. And the assignment is perfect as usual for our discussion. It says, if I could tell you what it meant, there wouldn't be no point in dancing it. We can almost feel conditioning's hackles rise at the mere suggestion there is no point to life. How can that be? If there is no purpose, why live? Conditioned mind is a meaning-making machine, hence our preoccupation with causes, justification, explanations, rationalizations, outcomes, and postmortems. Through a conversation about life, this mental process captures our attention, creating an illusory reality that is lifeless. But anything that is life, beauty, music, laughter, tears, loving, learning, has no meaning. It simply is. To know what it is requires us to have a direct experience of it. Today, just dance, just laugh, just love, just play, just work. Have a direct experience of the meaninglessness of existence. Record and listen.
Oof. Chills over that one. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry.
Can't wait.
We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Go happy.
Go happy.